prayer request, or pray for Mr. O'Case, his children's outreach ministry in Israel that we support. They're looking for a better van. Pray for them. Pray for a brother to get a good report back from the doctor, and for another brother struggling with drugs. Keep Rhonda Armstrong in your prayers, and Fred. And we got that one. And remember everyone deployed fighting evil. That is ISIS. Let's pray for them real quick. I don't think we can pray enough anyway. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift Rhonda up to you and these young men and ladies that are deployed and fighting ISIS. Lord, we lift Fred and Rhonda up to you, and Lord, I ask your favor on them. And we lift our children's outreach ministry in Israel. I pray that they get a better van. And ask you, Lord, what to do there. Come sit with us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. I really am excited to be here. We are continuing in Everyday Heroes. And today, you know, Everyday Heroes, what we're talking about is finding, how do you find everyday strength? The strength that you need to love your family, to make good decisions, to resist temptation, and to live with compassion. It takes strength to do those things. And men and women that can are everyday heroes. Everyday heroes. And so far we've looked at some examples in the Bible. I think today we're on part 6 of just how we live this out daily. And today we looked at Gideon last week in Judges, and today we're going to look at another guy in Judges, actually today and next week. Well, his name is Samson. And he's the guy, everybody knows when we mention Samson about him being strong, but he's also the guy I want to teach today, that his strength became his weakness. And what happened to him, we can learn some things about where real strength comes from. And that's what I want to talk about today and next week. I'm not going to do all 5 points today. I decided I wouldn't do that. I wanted to do something different, and I really wanted you to get these first 3, so we're just going to do 3 today. And so for those of you that kind of flip out when we don't fill in blanks, I'm just going to let you suffer for a week. All right. Samson was a strong man. There was no doubt about that. Everybody knows that. I mean, if anybody in the Bible would have been an avenger, it would have been Samson. I mean, he would have been the one. And he killed a lion with his bare hands. He was held captive, and he pulled the city gates together. He took the gates and the posts and everything and carried them up this hill just because he could. You know, and he was strong. He broke the ropes one time, and he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. But see, now when I was a kid, that was my favorite story because I could say ass. And that's what he done. Amen. I used to say, let's read about Samson. Just so, you know, I felt real good about that. And so when you look about it, you say, what's everyday strength about Samson if he could do all of that? What's everyday? And so I want to take a closer look at him, because he may have looked like a hero on the outside because he was strong. But when you really look on the inside, not so much. Not so much like a hero. He had a lot of struggles going on the inside. Like a lot of people, you know. Like a lot of people I know. You know, Samson spent so much time making sure the outside looked good, but not so much on the mess on the inside. You know, we do that, don't we? We do that. And Samson never dealt with that. We don't either. We got to deal with it. Samson was that kind of guy. So we're going to learn about real strength from Samson, but we'll look at what he did and do the opposite. You ever do that with folks? You don't want to do what they did. That's what we're going to do with Samson. And because when you do that, you're going to find real strength, you know, except for this surprise ending at the end of his life, you know. But most of us are going to learn from, the most thing we're going to learn from Samson is the negative in his life. And if I could draw it all up into one statement, I believe it would be this, is that he relied on his strength instead of God's strength. And so, but that was his biggest mistake. And to be honest with you, I do that from time to time. I find myself doing that, relying on my own abilities, relying on my own strength, and relying on my own wit instead of God. And I find myself wanting to give up, wanting to quit. And Psalm 18:1, let me start off at the top, says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. I think that's every one of our desires that's sitting here today, that the Lord is our strength. But how do you do this? How do you make God your strength, especially every day? And I think we'll find out in Samson's story. We're going to find out how to not let our strength become our weakness, and to find the strength, the kind of strength that will last. So how do you make God your strength? Well, I think you're going to look at five things, and we're only going to talk about three of them today. I really want you to remember these, and I really want you to practice them this week. Then we're going to do a little something different at the end of the service today, and I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave because I want you to be engaged, and I want you to do something for me. Actually, I want you to do something for yourself. Let's look at one of the first five things is this, about being strong people and God's strength. Strong people develop strong motives. Strong people develop strong motives. Samson was a soldier, and he often defeated the Philistines. The Philistines was the Israelites' arch enemy, man. They'd come in every once in a while, just take over, get the crops and everything else. But he often defeated the Philistines in battle, and he was constantly protecting the people of Israel. But he was doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. He's doing the right things for the wrong motivation. And here's, I've given you a couple of examples here. First, he defeated about 30 of the enemy when they made a fool of him. Judges 14:19 says, burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. He done this out of the motivation of anger. He didn't do it out of his love for his people. He didn't do it out of his faithfulness for God. He did it because he was ticked off. They'd made a fool out of him. He didn't do it for the love of his people. Then another time, Judges 15:3, Samson whooped him because Samson said, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. Now what's he motivated by? Yeah, exactly. He's motivated by revenge. And I'm gonna tell you something. Anger and revenge are terrible motivations for life. They're terrible. They'll tear you up inside. And when you get tore up inside over anger and revenge, guess what? The relationships that you have get torn up when you're motivated by anger and revenge. But the truth is, you can get some things done. You can get some things done with the wrong motivation. And you can even get some good things done with the wrong motivation, can't you? But it won't last. If you're motivated by anger and revenge, it just won't last. You'll get tired quickly. You'll give up. Your strength will be zapped. You know, when it comes to staying strong, I put a little fill in there for you. Put this right here. The whys of life, and I got it kind of, the whys of life are more important than the whats of life. The whys of life are more important than the whats of life. And what I mean by that is it's more important why you do something instead of what you do. It really is. Guys, it's more important why you do something instead of what you do. And this is in every area of your life. And it's this motivation that's going to begin to give you strength, lasting strength, the why you do it. You know, some folks are motivated by jealousy. Some folks are motivated by competition. Some folks are motivated by guilt. All these are wrong reasons. But I want to tell you a secret. we don't have or born with good motives. We develop good motives. We develop good motives. None of us are born with pure good motives. We develop them the rest of our life. We're just mixed with good and bad. I was sitting there just looking at myself the other day in the mirror thinking about this. I said, I'm just full of good and bad motives. You know, I'm mixed up. Y'all guys are really messed up. I'm looking at y'all. You guys are really messed up. I mean, I'm bad, but y'all are really bad. But we're developing good motives, aren't we? That's why we're here today, I think, is develop. So the question becomes this. Are your motivation, not, the question shouldn't be, are my motivations pure? But are my motivations being purified? I think that's the question that we need to look at. Are we developing? Are we doing something? Are we getting better? Is something happening to you to make you stronger? Amen? Are you doing something to be stronger? How does that happen? 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. We see the strongest motivation is love. It's love, because love's going to last. And the more you're motivated by love, the more strength that you will have in your everyday walking around ordinary life, the more motivated you are by love. And it will strengthen you. It'll strengthen you when you look to God's love for you. When you look and see how God sacrificially loves you, then you can sacrificially love others. It strengthens you. It empowers you. So the second thing here is this, that Samson teaches us through his negative example is this. Number two, strong people depend on others. Strong people depend on others. Samson had this great purpose, just like you and me, this God-given purpose, but if you'll notice throughout his life, he lacked support. He didn't have support. Nobody will help him. Samson was, as I read about him, he was always doing it alone. All the other leaders we talked about, remember Gideon? He was able to amass this great army. Deborah, she's amassed a great army, and they went to fight with her. But not Samson. He always fought alone. But because he always fought alone, Samson had a lot of problems. I mean, he had a lot of problems. One part of his story that really happened, he was always fighting alone. And the Philistines kept, you know, aggravating the Israelites. And finally, the Jewish people said, man, if you'll just leave us alone, we'll give you Samson. We'll give you Samson. We'll catch him for you. We'll tie him up. We'll get him for you. I'm gonna tell you something. If you're a leader, I want you to write this down. Because he didn't fight with them, they started to fight against him. Because he didn't join in the fight with them, they started to fight against him. I'm gonna tell you something, leaders. If you don't fight with the folks that you're leading, they'll turn on you. They'll turn on you. You won't be leading at all. So don't set yourself up as the mighty one that sits atop everyone. You better get down there and fight with everybody. You better get down there and scrub some floors and change a diaper. You better get in a fight with them. Oh, he was able to do it himself because he was strong. You know, he had the whole jawbone thing going on. I mean, the guy could fight. Strength, he was strong. But his strength was his weakness. Is that you? You walk into a room and you quickly say, you know what, I'm the smartest guy in the room. I mean, it happens. You look around and say, I'm pretty much it here. You know, I got more experience than anybody here. I got more ability. I'm here. I'm the one. And you know it. I'm going to tell you something. You're better together. You're stronger together. You're made to do more than just one thing. You're made for eternity. And if what you can do, you can do, is too small.
Amen.
If your dream is something that you can do, it's too small. We're better together. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. So a couple of questions I want you to answer to yourself today is, who needs to strengthen you today? In your mind, who needs to strengthen you today? And then I want you to answer the questions, who can you give strength to today? Who can you give strength to today? But who needs to strengthen you today? Ecclesiastes 4:12. This ain't just for weddings. This verse I'm fixing to tell you ain't just for weddings, all right? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Guys, we can win some battles, but we can't win the daily wars alone. We need each other. Who can you look to give strength to? More than that, though, some of you have had dreams, and you've given up on them because you've decided you can't do them. They're just too big. When in reality, you can't do them alone. So what have you given up on doing? That's just too overwhelming. And you've just decided to quit. I want to encourage you today to get someone with you. God-given dreams are too big for you to do them alone. He created us to be together. What if you just said no to? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to write it. I'm not going to do that. I want to encourage you to bring some other people into it. Bring some other people into it. And so I want to give you a practical starting point. Write this down. Go up to someone and say, would you pray for me? It's a practical starting point. I just want you to pray for me. Anybody can do that, right? It's easy. Just, would you pray for me? And that includes that person. You done got somebody in on your plan and on your dream right there. Amen? It's easy. Then, I want you to pray for someone else. Because there's someone that you need to strengthen. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so give encouragement to each other and keep strengthening one another as you do already. Guys, nothing more strengthening than encouragement. And somebody came to your mind, I know, that somebody that you could encourage. Text them today. Call them. And I know a lot of times it's because I'm your pastor. But people text me a lot with encouragement. Tom Gibson. He's up at all times of the night. And so am I sometimes. But I'll get a text at 3 o'clock in the morning. Jim, I just want you to know I love you. I want you to know you did a great job, son, and you challenged me. Paxton is my constant encourager. Constant courage. He'll call me. I just want to tell you I love you. It don't take much. It don't take much. And you know what that does? It swells me up. Because just about every time I've received encouragement was the time I was ready to quit. That was when I was ready to quit. You never know, that word of encouragement you give someone could change the direction of their life. Never know. Just a quick text. Quick call. If God is prompting you to encourage someone, get off your butt and do it. It could change the direction of their life. It could change everything. I really believe I'm still here because of my words of encouragement that I received. Changed my direction. Third truth we learn from this, Samson, is this. Strong people discipline their desires. Strong people discipline their desires. Samson struggled with this all his life. All his life. He never exercised discipline in the areas of relationships with women. He never did. But then he met Delilah. Oh, Delilah. Oh, Delilah. Judges 16:4 says, sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He couldn't stay away. He knew Delilah was destroying him. Delilah was his kryptonite. And the closer he got to her and the more and more he saw her, the more destructive it was to his life. But he couldn't stay away. He couldn't stay away. He had no discipline when it came to Delilah. It was weaker and weaker. Judges 16:6 says this. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. What a goon. I mean, there should have been a clue. You know, that something was wrong right here. He started playing games with her. And then he was even, then this showed me he didn't have a whole lot between the ears. He started playing games with her, and he said, okay, all you got to do is tie me up, you know. Do this. Well, she'd do that. And she'd tie him up. Then she would send the Philistine soldiers in there. He'd break them up, and he'd kill them. He said, that wasn't really it. I was joking with you. And then he would tell her something else. I'm thinking, Samson, wake up. Get a clue. Don't tell her nothing else. Stop playing games with her. But then she dropped the nuclear bomb. You know what she did? If you really love me. If you really love me, Samson, you'll tell me what's wrong. You'll tell me what the clue, what the secret is. Okay. It's my hair. If you cut it up, I ain't got no strength. I wanted to shout, idiot! You're an idiot! Sure enough. So when he went to sleep, what'd she do? Cut his hair. I'm glad it ain't my strength because mine just falling out. But it's just, oh, God. We shouldn't make fun of him too much. Because the truth is this. We all got things in our life that are destructive to us that we just can't seem to stay away from. Every one of us have things in our life. We just can't walk away from it. It might be pornography. We know it's killing us. It might be lust. It might be anger. It might be alcohol. It may be food. We know it's killing us, but we can't walk away from it. We just keep going back. It may be unforgiveness, overspending, worry. I got a whole list of these. But we just keep going back to them. You know why? Because we fell in love with the wrong thing. thing. We fell in love in the wrong way. And we're fools in believing that those things are going to love us back. Especially in the deepest resources of our souls where we need. Those things aren't going to love us back. So we just keep going back. We keep going back to the food. We keep going back to the pornography. We keep going back to the lust. And we find ourselves going back to the wrong thing and then going in the wrong direction. Samson loved Delilah, but Delilah didn't love him. And you may be married to or seeing the absolute love of your life, but I want you to know something. Only God can love you enough to meet your deepest needs, and that's where your strength comes from. That's where your strength comes from. So the key is this. If you really want to write something down about this, about disciplining your desires, is to recognize that the fulfillment that you're looking for only comes from God. The fulfillment that you're looking for only comes from God. Only comes from God. So chase after that. Chase after that. It doesn't come from a person. It doesn't come from a screen. It doesn't come from a plate. It comes from God. You don't discipline your desires by trying really hard not to do the wrong things. I'm telling you, you ain't going to do that. You can walk away from your desires, but you're going to walk right back to them. You'll walk right back to them. Especially if you don't know the right things to chase after. Let me read something to you that I believe it was my old pastor that told us about. And it started in the 80s. And I believe that's why North Point is here. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You know what that tells me? Three things. Write these down. Run away. Run away, run towards, and run with. Run away, run towards, and run with. What that's saying is run away from the wrong thing. It says flee. That means skedaddle. Run away from the wrong things. Then it says run towards the right things. Right living, right thinking. It says chase them. Chase after love, righteousness, and faith. Then the third thing in that verse, it says, run with other people who are chasing after the same thing. So that tells me that sometimes I got to get away from this group of people, start chasing the right thing, and find a group of people who are chasing after the same thing. I got to change who I hang out with just for a little, who I spend most of my time with. I'm not saying be completely away from the unbelieving world, because that's just stupid. When our job is evangelism, when our job is to bring people into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if I ain't strong enough, I don't need to be hanging out. I need to gather my strength. And I do that by fleeing from the bad things, seeking the good things, and running with folks of like-mindedness. You're going to find them in church. You're going to find them serving other people. You're going to find them lining up to go on mission trips. You're going to find these folks there. You're going to find them in the mud in Texas. Because you see, in the late 1980s, after I married my wife, I started fleeing from those evil desires. Then in the 90s, I started chasing after. Then in 1994, I went on a mission trip to Topeka, Kansas with four other men. I'm going to make a long story short. We didn't really know each other. Me and two of those men, God brought us to found this church. And we're still together, chasing after love and faith and righteousness. We're running with each other. And I believe God used that to start this church. You gotta get out of some old habits. You gotta start running with folks that are chasing after what you're chasing. Amen? Things gotta change. Things gotta change. Now we're still chasing. We still meet once a week. Wednesday mornings at 6 o'clock. We still hold each other accountable for, we've been doing it now for 19 years. We're still chasing after that. But now our group's got bigger. It's a whole pile of folks chasing after him, and they're running with us. They ran to Costa Rica this week. They ran up here and played this morning. They ran here this morning about 7 o'clock, started reading the Word of God. They ran up here going to meet Friday night. Glow. Our group just got bigger. We just want it to get bigger. It's what God has called us to do. So I got to ask you, this is the question. If you don't answer anything, what do you need to flee from? What do you need to run towards? And who do you need to run with? Who do you need to run with? This is a process. I know sometimes you're going to take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. But it's a process. It's a development. But if you really want to discipline your desires, this has to happen. This has to happen. I'm going to do something a little different. The 8 o'clock service put theirs in. I don't want you to leave. I want you to really do this. This is what we do communion in. This is what I put the bread in that I serve y'all. I want you to do something. I'm not going to read them. I want you to write on a piece of scrap paper, every last one of us. I was telling Greg last night how I simply can't stand it. I just melt down and cry when I see y'all give. I told Greg last night that I pastor the most generous church in America. I do. I pastor the most generous church in America. I was bragging on y'all. I probably should not be so proud, but I am, because y'all, it's a righteous prayer. Y'all are good people. But I want to engage y'all into something today, and I'm talking about every one of y'all. Every one of y'all. I want you to write down what you need to flee from, because I'm 55 and I'm the pastor of church for 19 years and I'm still fleeing. I'm still running from some things that I don't need to be in. All right, the second thing, you need to write what you want to run toward. Run to. Then the third thing is, I want you to write some names of people you need to run with. I believe that writing down something makes it important. There's some changes you need to make in your life. There's some changes I need to make in mine. I'm not going to stand up here and say that I'm perfect. I'm close, but I'm not. What do you need to flee from? What do you need to run to? Who do you need to start running with? And I want you to write that down. I want you to fold it up, and I want you to put it in this old communion plate. I'm not going to look at them. It's between you and the Lord. But I think it needs to be tangible, that you offer it to the Lord today. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to burn it. But I want everyone to participate. Amen? Everybody has something, and I'm asking you to please participate. If you need a pen, we got some here. And Scott and them will find you some. I think there's some back there. But as we sing, I'm going to pray for you guys. I put mine in there. Mine's in there. And I want you to come. I want you to offer it there. And if you need to stop and pray, that'd be good too. Musicians, come on while I pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, we're about to offer you up some stuff, some wrong stuff, some stuff that's kept us and hindered us from our relationship with you. We're going to give that to you, Lord. And then we're going to run towards the righteousness. We're going to run toward faith. We're going to run toward love. We're going to run toward compassion for others. And Lord, I pray that you provide people that we can run with. Because we're better together. You made us that way. I love you, Jesus. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.